It is so good to see our church full of so many of our St. Agnes and St. William of York family today. I look out in the church and I see so many familiar faces. And when I see your face, I think of the times that we have shared together. Some I have shared with you happy times, baptisms, graduations. Other I've shared with you sad times in the life of your family. Others have joyfully said yes whenever I have asked them to do something or had a project for them. And others are simply there smiling after Mass on the weekends. It's wonderful to see our choir loft full today with the combined choirs from St. Agnes and St. William of York. I was allowed to pick from their greatest hits for today's Mass. And when they told me that, the first thing I said was, I want to do the sprinkling right so I can hear I Saw Water Flowing that we heard at the beginning of Mass today. It's one of my favorites from our choir. We heard St. Paul in the second reading today say that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In the ancient world, this was a radical thing to say. To us, it doesn't sound particularly startling. It just sort of sounds like religious language. But subjects in the Roman Empire would have greeted each other with the greeting, Caesar is Lord, just like you and I would say hello to each other. So for St. Paul to say that this man who had been crucified as a common criminal is Lord, as powerful as Caesar, was incomprehensible. Yet the message that Jesus is Lord has a power behind it so much stronger than that of Caesar is Lord. And it's not the power of an ancient army, but rather it is a divine power. That divine power is the person of the Holy Spirit. That message that Jesus is Lord still has the power to move hearts, to transform lives, and to set hearts on fire because it is the Holy Spirit who is behind that message. Today's Feast of Pentecost is all about that Holy Spirit, that divine power, that divine person who has acted in the past, who is alive and well today, and will continue to act in the future. The first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles took us back to that first Pentecost, when the apostles had gathered in fear with the Blessed Virgin Mary in that upper room, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit that Jesus would told them would come. And we hear that the Spirit arrives with great display, the strong driving wind, the noise from the sky, the tongues of fire that came down and parted and rested on them. And as they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they immediately go out. There's no waiting. They're filled with the Spirit and they are impelled to go out and speak to the crowd that has gathered in Jerusalem for the Jewish feast. The Spirit emboldens the proclamation, but the Spirit also opens the ears of those who hear so that they hear the apostles in their own language. What we see here is that the arrival of the Holy Spirit precipitates a change in the apostles. They're no longer turned in on themselves. But the Spirit produces a fire which produces an explosion so that they immediately burst forth. And this is what St. Paul means when he says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The announcement of the good news of salvation started with that small group and went out as they shared one by one, sharing what it means that Jesus is Lord in their lives. And the church experienced that exponential growth down through the centuries. The Spirit whom Jesus breathes out in the gospel today is the one who accomplishes this, the spreading and the sharing of the good news. So that brings us to our present day, to our own time. We ask the question, what does this have to do with me? And the answer to that question is that each and every one of us has been given the Holy Spirit. Perhaps not quite in the display that we heard in the first reading today, but we have been given the Holy Spirit in our baptism, and then again in our confirmation. The Holy Spirit is not some vague force. The Holy Spirit is a divine person with whom we can have a relationship. We can speak to him, pray to him, implore him to set a fire in our hearts. I'm amazed every time I find myself in a situation where I don't know what to say or I don't know what to do, I always say to myself, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to take this one. And when I look back, I see how the Holy Spirit put the words into my mouth, or the Holy Spirit helped me to know what was right to do in that particular moment. The Spirit that is given to us at our confirmation is primarily an outward force. Some of you may be old enough to remember when the bishop used to slap your cheek after he gave confirmation. I understand that some bishops slapped harder than other bishops. But it was meant to be a sign to say, hey, now you have to go out. You have to go out with the message and the gift that you have received. Sometimes we're tempted to be like the apostles, sort of turned in on ourselves and cowering in fear. But we have been given this explosive force that impelled the apostles to go out. We too have been given the Spirit. This Pentecost, we find ourselves as a church in a rather difficult time. It's been a tough year for us. And now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to fight. Our faith is worth fighting for. It's a treasure that we want other people to know, that message that Jesus is Lord. We also believe that the church is worth fighting for. Everything that's true and good and beautiful about our church is worth fighting for. I recently finished reading a biography of Ulysses Grant, and it's amazing that towards the ending of the Civil War, the people in the North wanted Lincoln and Grant just to give up. They had spent too much money, too many lives. They thought Robert E. Lee could not be defeated. So they just said, you know what? Give up. It's not worth it. But Lincoln and Grant believed that the Union was worth fighting for. So we look at all these things in the newspapers and we see the mess that's going on, the news this week out of West Virginia. And we say, well, you know what? Maybe it's time to give up. But the church is worth fighting for. It's not time to give up. Rather, it's time to double down, to work harder, to try to be more holy, to make the good news known even more. I find that as my time as pastor here comes to an end, I spend a little bit of time in recollection. And I've been thinking a lot about the fact that sort of my time here could be summed up by the phrase moving from maintenance to mission, from trying to get us to move from sort of our comfortable way that we've always been doing things to focusing more on mission, going out with the good news. And of course, not everyone has really come to accept this, and that's okay, but many of you have, the vast majority. And for that, I'm very grateful. And I truly believe that moving from maintenance to mission is what we have to do to move our parishes and our Catholic faith forward in the 21st century. We love our faith. We love our community. We love our church. We love them too much to watch them continue to decline. And in that recollection, I've been keenly aware that there's much that's been left undone and unfinished. And I've also come to understand that that is a good thing as well, because it's Jesus' church. It's not mine or yours. Yes, we are a part of it, but it is the Spirit that gives the church growth. I'm reminded of St. Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians when he reflects on the role of God's ministers. He says, "What is Apollos? After all, what is Paul? Ministers through whom you became believers. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ." So as long as we are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, whether it's me or Father Isaac or some other priest, we will be okay. And as long as we entrust ourselves to the Holy Spirit, he will bring about the growth. So my friends, I thank you. I thank you for the love you have shown to me over the last almost seven years. Your love, your support, your prayers, your love for St. Agnes and St. William of York. It's something that I will take with me always. The older priests say that the first parishes that you're pastor of are always the most special to you. So this place will certainly hold a very special place in my heart. And I would encourage us to remember that God is more faithful than we are even to ourselves. And when we give ourselves over to him, when we are faithful to him, he will continue to give and to cause the growth.